Scripture tells us that God and God alone can save us. The Father has done just that by sending his Son to become flesh, to represent us, by substituting himself on our behalf. And that is what happened. Christ and Christ alone is the basis on which the ungodly are justified in God's sight. Let me try and put this in a little bit clearer words. I don't talk theology very much. When I was in seminary, we had many discussions on the nature of God in addition to our academic lessons. Some questions such as, who is God? Is there more than one God? What about the God of other religions? When we were over living in Egypt, many times, I can't tell you how many, people would stop us on the street because we were obviously Western. Are you Christian? Why do you believe in three gods? It just didn't make sense to them. And I still think about these things today. Some of them are good stories. Some of them are still hard to give a simple answer to that people can grasp. But the opening words of our gospel lesson today take me back immediately to the opening words of the book of Genesis and the creation of the world. The opening verses also confirm our attempted explanation of God as a Trinitarian God. And we know this word that became flesh as Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is God at work among us even now. It's a beautiful and powerful text. But even knowing this, we all live today with questions and confusions and feelings that life in general has not been this perfect place. The world was created and given light, but sometimes darkness still seems to rule. The world, Gary Burge writes, is not a neutral place. A place of open inquiry and curiosity about God. The world is opposed to anything that challenges its comfortable and easily explainable answers to the hard questions. One Bible commentary puts it this way: the theme of John's gospel is that Jesus is the promised Messiah and the Son of God. By believing in Jesus, people can have eternal life. Simple and true. Easy enough to understand. But we don't always feel it in our hearts, in our lives, do we? What is still wrong? I think the commentary's message is very true. By believing in Jesus, we can have eternal life. But you have to be open to receive this gift of God. And often, hectic, noisy lives get in the way. We don't always take time to be silent and still to receive and understand and accept this gift. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him." Think about that a minute. If we live with the doors of our life closed, then we cannot receive this gift. We cannot see, understand, nor follow the path where God wants to lead us. You have to stop, pause in the midst of your busy life, and listen to the still, small voice of God. Quite a while ago now, I received a church letter that had a story in it that was so remarkably relevant to today's verses in Scripture, that before I go any farther, I want to give you something important to think about by telling you the story of God and the geese. There was a man who didn't believe in God, and he didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion and religious holidays. His wife, however, did believe, and she raised their children to also have faith in God and Jesus, despite his disparaging comments. One snowy evening, his wife was taking their children to service in the farm community in which they lived. They were to talk about Jesus' birth. She asked him to come, but he refused. "The story is nonsense," he said. "Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous." So she and the children left, and he stayed home. A while later, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blizzard. As the man looked out the window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something had hit the window. Kind of like that microphone falling over. Got his attention. He looked out, but he couldn't see more than a few feet. When the snow let up a little, he ventured outside to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they'd been flying south for the winter when they got caught in the snowstorm and could not go on. They were lost and stranded on his farm with no food, no shelter. They just flapped their wings, flew around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. A couple of them had flown into the window, it seems. The man felt sorry for the geese, and he wanted to help them. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It's warm and safe. They could spend the night. They could wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and opened the doors wide, then watched and waited, hoping they would notice the open barn and go inside. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly, didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that just seemed to scare them. They moved farther away. He went into the house and came back with some bread, broke it up, made a breadcrumb trail leading to the barn, but they still didn't catch on. Now he was getting frustrated. He got behind them and tried to shoo them toward the barn, but they only got more scared. They scattered in every direction except toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them to go into the barn where they would be warm and safe. "Why don't they follow me?" he exclaimed. "Can't they see? This is the only place where they can survive the storm." He thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them," he said out loud. Then he had an idea. He went into the barn, got one of his own geese, and carried it in his arms as he circled around behind the flock of wild geese. He then released it. His goose flew through the flock and straight into the barn. One by one, the other geese followed it to safety. He stood silently for a moment as the words he had spoken a few minutes earlier replayed in his mind. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them." Then he thought about what he'd said to his wife earlier. "Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous." Suddenly it all made sense. That is what God had done. We are like the geese. blind, lost, perishing. God had his Son become like us so he could show us the way and save us. As the winds and blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet, and he pondered this wonderful thought. Suddenly, he understood why Christ had come. Years of doubt and disbelief vanished with the passing storm. He fell to his knees in the snow and prayed his first prayer. Thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. The prologue to the Gospel of John, which we read today, is not about a message that offers hope, but about the Messiah that is our only hope. It's not about an idea, but a person. The Word became flesh, tells us that God is intent on communicating with us, not about mere ideas. He's intent on communicating about himself. The message is accessible to all people everywhere, in all time and places, and in all circumstances. We just have to open our hearts and minds to receive it. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He was not simply an inspired carpenter or a model human. Jesus was God himself, living among us fully human and fully God, delivering the reality of God to the world in a manner never done before. God loves us so much that he came to us and dwelt with us, guides us, and does not leave, and he never will. We belong to God.